Okay, Jess, we've been talking about the Fed and interest rates projected to come down, which directly affects our high-yield savings account interest rates. We're not getting that 5% yield anymore like we were, which means we need a plan for our cash. And if we're not ready to put that cash into riskier securities like stocks, ETFs, etc., then we might need some other actionable, low-risk options to park our cash for now or for a little while. So I have friends asking me what I'm doing with my HYSA money and where I'm moving it to next. And honestly, I don't even have a plan yet. And we talked about treasuries and how shorter-term T-notes had higher yields than usual a few months ago. So is that still the case? Or is there more we could be doing or learning about?
Impeccable timing with the question. I love it. The Fed is going to cut rates at some point. That's what we've been talking about. We can't time when that's going to happen, but we can prepare. That's why you have to know how the stock market works if you're going to be a self-directed investor, what's changing and what's shifting. So we prepare, not time, prepare. Mm-hmm. So if you're scared to invest in the stock market and you only have a high yield savings account or you want to lock in higher interest rates for your cash, I think we should introduce our audience and you, Jesse, and your friend to CD laddering.
Ooh, something new.
Yes.
Cue music.
You're listening to the Market Make Her podcast, the self-directed investing education podcast that breaks down how the stock market works, the tools at your brokerage firm, and all things for the do-it-yourself investor.
Yes, there are so many free tools, y'all. And we're your hosts. I'm Jesse Denui, the beginner investor learning alongside you. So if you're just starting out investing, I am too. And if you're overwhelmed with all this new information, I am too, so don't worry, but that's why we're here. There's so much great information out there. We just need to know our resources and get our questions answered. And that's my job. I ask the questions. And we've been keeping track of all your questions as well, which we'll continue to answer on this podcast.
And I'm Jess Inskip. It's my job to answer your questions and point you to those resources. If you don't know me, I've been in finance for about 15 years now, used to be licensed for 10 of those. Now I create education and provide market commentary for major brokerage firms who do not sponsor this podcast. And you can catch me on Yahoo Finance, CNBC, or Fox Business sharing my views.
Yes, I convinced Jess to make this podcast with me to share all of that knowledge and experience with us. So welcome to the journey, friends.
It's full of rabbit holes
that lead to magical financial lands
of understanding
and aha moments. All right, Jess. So I asked you for a follow-up on our discussion about bonds and T-notes with locking in rates. And now you want to talk about laddering cash with fixed income? Are we climbing down a new rabbit hole?
So I'm going to try to stay away from rabbit holes today.
Okay.
This is the next natural step if you have never invested before. So if you just have a high yield savings account, this is going to be a tiny little baby step. But we're preparing for something, again, not timing the markets because that's literally impossible. But you can prepare and get an idea of things if we pay attention to our surroundings. Just like when you know a stop sign is going to be ahead, you just know it's there.
Yeah.
As long as you pay attention.
Down a little bit.
Laddering refers to layering or structuring. Today's episode is extremely actionable, something you could implement tomorrow, something we haven't really talked about, as in so, so actionable. So y'all are getting some disclosures before we dive in or climb down, whatever is about to happen. So number one, we are not investment advisors. I was licensed. I am not anymore. Number two, this is no way personal financial advice. We don't know your personal financial situation, risk tolerance. I don't know your goals, but you should know your personal situation as a self-directed investor.
Yes. And we've had episodes on those things. So
yes.
Make sure you're listening to this.
Exactly. But we do not. But we can give you what to think about and offer education. This is not an offer to buy or sell anything. It's all education. It's for informational purposes only. We're going to show you real examples. It's going to be a snapshot in time of this recording. Our episodes are two-day turnarounds. So this is a Wednesday. It's released on a Friday. Things shift and change. We're literally going to show you how to place trades today.
Yeah, today is March 27th, 2024. So that's the real-time data we'll be showing you from today.
Yes.
So we're going to showcase Fidelity's platform today. This feature is available at most brokerage firms. We're not sponsored by any of them at the time of this recording, but we would like to be, so we'll let you know when that happens. Good vibes, please. We've been putting it out in the universe. If you want to understand this more, you can literally call your brokerage firm and have a conversation for free with them. They will totally walk you through all of this. Okay, so now that the disclosures are done, I think we might need to define fixed income investing, which is a strategy that involves investing in low-risk assets that provide a fixed stream of income through interest or dividends. These investments are called fixed income because they provide a fixed, predetermined return through interest payments. So it's in the name, like we always say, it's in the name, fixed income.
Yes.
So now that that is defined, what do we need to know next, Jess?
Yes. All right. So if we enter a recession, we will experience accelerated rate cuts. So this is the why behind it, in case you didn't listen to the previous episodes. There is no timing the market, but there is preparation for events on the horizon. We prepare for earnings season. We prepare for tax time so much within the market. And as retail investors, it's just important to know what is happening in your surroundings. So in this case, it's locking in rates, which means fixed income. And you can do this with treasuries, bonds, or CDs. But like I said, today's a baby step. So we're going to focus on something called brokerage CDs and create a ladder with it.
Well, let's define a regular bank CD first then, because I know this doesn't sound like it's the same thing, right?
Right. Good idea, Jesse, because I know this one's all you.
I actually know this one. I know what a CD is. So a CD stands for Certificate of Deposit, and it's like a type of savings account that you can get at your bank or a local credit union. And you basically agree to deposit your funds, lock them in a little cage for a period of time, in exchange for an interest rate. So, aka making your money make money. And normally, if you access those funds before that agreed date, then you can get an early withdrawal penalty.
Beautiful and perfect definition. They are locked in a cage for a certain period of time. So it's like that step up from your savings account, in this case, the high yield savings account. But they have the same risk as cash equivalents, which is interest rate risk, right? Right. So we've been talking a lot about inflation because it's a key theme, something we're all experiencing, but it has an effect on the economy and the stock market is around you. When you say interest rate risk, that means the security or investment vehicle, asset class, whatever is attached to it, inflation will grow faster than the interest you receive on your money. That's interest rate risk. So it's not keeping up with inflation. And this should be a whole nother puzzle piece. So we know the Fed is raising interest rates to bring inflation down. So think about that risk. Interest rate risk means my cash is not going to grow as fast or keep up with inflation. If someone like the Fed is taking actions to bring inflation down, and that action is raising interest rates, and if you listen to the inverted yield curve episode, you know that their actions are on the shorter term rates, which are securities that are like 3 months out. It affects those first before the longer term. Their actions impact the front end of the curve. That immediately puts up your high yield savings account, but it's a short term thing. So what happens when we want the economy to go back to normal? This is why we say we need to de-invert the curve, is we need that to look normal. And we'll talk about that and show you a little bit later, but your high yield savings account is variable. It's not locked in. It's going to sit there. And once the Fed says, hey, our job is done, or worst case scenario, we have a recession, they're going to take an action to reduce those interest rates. If it's a recession, it's going to be an accelerated action. And it's going to impact those short-term rates first, which is your high yield savings account. And that's why it's important now. But it's also hopefully puts a puzzle together and it's like, oh my goodness, this makes sense. Because of everything we've been talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely bringing it all together. If you're starting to think about moving your money out of your high yield savings account, which, you know, was getting interest rates up to like 5%, now we've been seeing those come down. And, you know, that money is cash. So this is an option, right? Like a brokerage CD is another option. You can put it into a regular bank CD if you want. But what makes a brokerage CD a different option or like different kind of strategy?
Yeah. So let me paint you a picture. Say you want to go buy a CD at a bank and you might have a relationship with one. It might be a bigger bank or it might be a credit union, but you want to look at all the banks and figure out who has the highest rate for a certain time frame, what if you had someone to broker the deal for you?
Like it's in the name again.
It's all in the name, everything. It's very similar to the real estate world. So a real estate agent would work for a sponsoring real estate broker or brokerage firm. So in this case, you're not going to get a real estate agent to find a house for you. But say you'd go access that inventory on the real estate brokerage firm's website. It's almost the same thing. So you could see all the houses that were available to you and they gave that. So in this case, that brokerage firm would be Fidelity, because we're going to use Fidelity's website today. But most brokerage firms have a fixed income type of offering. Even the newer ones and not so bigger ones, there's going to be a fixed income offering. What they do is they're the depositing broker. They invest a considerable sum with a lot of different banks. So many. And they create this inventory. And what they do, almost like a stock in a way, is one, because they're depositing so much money, they can negotiate a higher rate. So this is going to be a little bit higher than you doing it yourself. They're going to sell off little pieces, smaller pieces, to a variety of investors as brokerage CDs. So they're issued by banks, but they're for customers of the brokerage firm. And this is the really important part. The bank is still issuing the CD. And if it's bank issued, that means it's still FDIC covered up to $250,000. So you still get the bank coverage, but the broker is facilitating the transaction across all their customers.
Okay, so it's similar to a real estate agent, how they kind of get a cut, but then also negotiate a better deal for you type thing. Like the brokerage firm is helping you find the best CD.
Exactly.
They're getting something out of it too.
They are. There's usually a markup or a markdown. It's much more automated and streamlined.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you. Can't wait.
Show me the things. We host our video podcast on YouTube, and it's also available through Spotify if you're watching or listening that way. But we are sharing a screen and actually looking in a brokerage firm right now to look at these brokerage CDs. But we'll explain to you what we're looking at as well.
Yes. Okay, so this is screenshots of Fidelity's website of today. We're going to talk about a CD ladder today. And this should be so obvious of even an inverted yield curve. We're talking about new issue CDs because there are a lot of different types. So new issue means this is the first time the CD is being created. Your brokerage firm will get a new inventory of fixed income products, normally one day a week. And then that's when everybody comes in and grabs them. So remember when I worked at brokerage firms, people would come in to go buy CDs or call in to go buy CDs, and it might be at the end of the week. And I'm like, hey, you got to wait till Monday until we refresh our inventory. Like literally like the housing market. Like, but think about it as you only have access to what's in your brokerage firm. So each brokerage firm is going to have their own inventory. It's not like this is for new issued CDs. This isn't what's out on the market.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is you can see the inverted yield curve. So at the bottom here, you see the new issue CDs by top rate. So this is the highest yielding. The 3 month is 5.35%, and the 10-year is 4%. So that's what we mean by inverted yield curve.
Usually, right, the longer you have your money locked up in a cage, the more interest you should be getting for that time. But we're not seeing that now. Has this happened before?
Yes. So this happens when we're battling inflation and the Fed's raising interest rates.
I remember, I think it was maybe the 80s or 90s. I don't know. I remember my grandparents like telling me that they put their money in CDs because the interest rates back then were so high. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to see them go that high. I feel like it was like 11% or more. I remember
it was
getting a lot of money off of their money, and like being a kid trying to understand that. I'm like, oh, okay. When I get older, I just put my money in CDs and that's how you make extra income.
Markets change.
And I got older and I was like, well, I guess not.
Doesn't work that way anymore.
But we're kind of getting a little bit. Now we're seeing these shorter term ways to lock up your cash for 3 months or 6 months or 9 months. And we're getting actually a little bit more than we would if we locked it up for 10 years, which is crazy.
Exactly. But that's why this is good. Again, it's not timing. It's preparation. I don't know when the Fed's going to cut rates. No one knows when the Fed's going to cut rates. But what we do know, if you pay attention and understand the stock market, is that they are going to cut rates at some point because they said they are. It's projected to be as early as June, which affects these very quickly. So if you can get more on a 3-month CD than something for 10 years, as in 1.35% more, there's some action that needs to be taken here.
Well, it's interesting how 3 month is 5.35, 6 month is 5.25, 9 month is 5.25. Because if you only lock this money up for 3 months, you're going to get a little bit more back. But then like 3 months from now, these rates could be cut even further, right?
It could.
We should also say this money you're locking up shouldn't be your emergency fund, right? Because
exactly,
money should be there in an emergency. You don't want to have to get penalized for taking money early from something you're locking up to get more interest and more money back on it. So
exactly,
remember that, folks.
Yes. And your head's in the right spot. So that's why we're going to ladder it. So we're going to build a 1-year ladder. You can do whatever you want. The way a ladder works, it is literally like a ladder. So the way you set it up is you're structuring it first with 3 months. So if we're going to do a 1 year, we'll do 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and then 12 months.
And each of those is like a rung on the ladder.
Yes.
Okay.
And those are 3-month increments.
Yes.
So first decide, okay, this is the CD I want to buy for 3 months, the CD for 6, the CD for 9, the CD for 12. Every 3 months now, quarterly, I'm going to get this interest rate payment. And when I get that interest rate payment and I get my principal back at maturity, just like with a CD, you buy another 12-month one. So you're constantly getting something every 3 months. Because once that 3 months is up, the first one's going to expire, but then the 6 months one's going to be 3 months old, and then the 9 month one is going to be 6 months old, and the 12 months one is going to be 9 months old, so you need a new 12 months one. So you're setting yourself up for quarterly payments of your cash. That is a CD ladder. I'm showing CDs, which is lower on the investing risk pyramid. You can do this with bonds. You can get more interest depending on what asset you choose. So when I say asset, that just means a different security investment vehicle. I'm being so jargony today.
We've talked about all of these terms before in previous episodes.
Yeah, you could do a corporate bond, and that's going to give you a little more, but now you're not FDIC insured. You're under CPIC, depending on the grade. So you can lock in potentially higher interest rates. It just depends on the investment vehicle that's there. And it's also taxed differently. But you can do this in any type of account. You can do it in an IRA, a regular account. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me make sure that I understand this. Okay. So if we're building a 1-year CD ladder and we've got like a 3-month, 6-month, 9-month, 12-month CDs that we're putting our money in. So you said we're using $4,000 today?
That's a good question. There are minimum requirements to purchase in a CD, and at Fidelity, it's $1,000.
So is it putting some of your money in 3 months and some in the 6 and some in the 9 and some in the 12? Or are they like somehow able to lock in those rates and move the entire amount from the 3 to the 6, the 9 to the 12 for you?
So it's some. So you do 1,000 in 3, 1,000 in 6, 1,000 in 9, 1,000 in 12.
Okay.
So 1,000 in each. So you're making the rung. But I'm going to show you. This is just my selection process, the way that they set up their tool. We're looking at the 1 year, the 3 months, it's offering us 5.35%. The 6 month is 5.25. The 9 month is 5.2. And the 12 month is 5.1, which is inverted, which we've talked about. But then it's going to tell me my ladder APY or annual percentage yield is 5.22. So that's just like the average of it all together.
But at the end of that 1 year, if you're not planning to move your money into something else, these interest rates might all be way lower in a year, right?
Exactly. And that's why we're preparing, because we don't want to wait until interest rates are cut. But right, if we're looking to get 5% anyways for something sitting there, why not? To me, it's a no-brainer. That's the front end of the curve right there, is a 3-month expiration, a 6-month expiration, and a 9-month expiration. And so those are going to be impacted by the Fed, whereas those longer duration or longer time frame won't be as much. So I would expect if we build a 1-year ladder, 3-month expires, which would put us in June when they're expected to cut. So that may be at 4, but I've already locked in 5.25.
Right. We're locking this in, though.
Like, we're locking it in.
Yeah.
This is
so even when the rates are cut, like we're still getting, you know, what we're locking in right now for the time frame we're locking it in for.
Exactly. So you're locking up a portion for 3 months, a portion for 6 months, and a portion for 9 months, and a portion for 12 months.
Oh, because we're putting in 4,000 into this 1 year ladder and 1,000 is going into each like rung, right?
Yes, exactly.
Each month increment. So then at the end of that first 3 months, you can take that 1,000 back plus the 5.35 interest rate. Like you kind of get that back.
That's right. Done. Exactly.
Okay.
This is the CDs that they have available now. I just have it sorted
There's
by their
117
people.
Of them?
117. Yes.
You still have to pick through like one of these for the 1 year ladder?
If you want. Or they will automatically do it. So you could say, okay, just choose for me. Remember, there's inventory.
Yeah.
There may not be quantity available.
Okay.
And there's some terms on here because this is a brokerage CD, so they act a little bit differently than bank CDs.
Okay.
So we just talked about laddering. Now I feel like we should have started here. So we literally just pulled the inventory. Mm-hmm. This is the bank. There could be regional banks. You can even see like the big banks in here. There are 117 that you can choose from. Imagine if you just go to your bank and you say, I want a 3 month CD because you saw this advertised on a billboard or whatever. They're not going to show you everyone else's.
Yeah.
If you go to the brokerage firm, they are going to show you everyone else's.
Okay.
This is the information we should go column by column. It'll tell you the coupon. That's the interest rate that they'll receive. Just another term for that. The coupon frequency. Like, when am I going to get my payments? Normally, it's at maturity, just like you would at the bank. Hold it in this cage for long enough. At the end, bring the certificate. I will give it to you, plus the interest I owe you. When is that payment date? That's the maturity date. That's what this is sorted by. Yield in this case is going to be the same as coupon. When we get deeper into fixed income, they're going to change.
Okay.
Quantity available. That's how much they have in their inventory in 1,000 increments. So you can buy 1,000 increments of the Mizuho Bank. So there's 2,937 available for that. The attributes, you want to see FDIC, that means it's insured. Because it may not be, because you have to be a Fed participating bank.
So if we're looking at this 1 year CD ladder that starts with a 3 month, why are we seeing 1 and 2 month periods in here?
So I probably should have showed you this first. The ladder was at the top and this is the bottom of the page, meaning we haven't selected anything yet.
Okay.
If we were going to scroll down and you just wanted one CD, this is what you would see. I'm going to go buy a house in 1 month. I have this cash that I'm setting aside. I know I have to keep it liquid, but I also know that I'm not going to do it for 1 month. Let me park it in a CD, get 5.25%. And then at the end of the month, I get my money back and my 5.25%. And it's locked in instead of being something variable.
Okay,
that's what this is. You do it in different time frames. When you ladder it, that's when we can start making some structure.
Okay.
And important, when you say the yield is 5.25%, that's an annual rate.
I didn't realize that.
And that's usually the same with your bank CDs, not just brokerage CDs. And the same with your high yield savings account. That's what you get over a year period. And you might get payments monthly, but it's an annual percentage rate get monthly.
That is what's happening.
Exactly.
HYSA, now that I think about it. Okay, that all makes sense.
Sorry about the order of events. Now we say, okay, you know what? I actually want to ladder this. And you can even do 1 month increments. You could do one every month if you only want to lock up your funds monthly, which would be totally fine because the shorter dated ones in this case are going to give you more yield.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Definitely going to change, but that's what's happening right now.
Exactly. So let's say I decide I want to do the 3 month. This is exactly the way it would look at Fidelity. I would type in my amount. So I'm going to say 4,000. And remember, we chose a ladder with four rungs, a 3 month, a 6 month, a 9 month, and a 12 months. So I have to put minimum of 1,000 in each. And if I put 1,000 in one, I need to put 1,000 in all of them. And if
you
I
have
increase
to put the
that
same amount in each rung.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. With this case. Mm-hmm.
So the amount you're putting here, that's like your total that you've already divided by four, basically.
That's 4,000 altogether, 1,000 in each.
Yeah, but they'll do that for you.
Oh, yeah.
It says a 4,000 minimum anyway.
Oh, yes,
4,000 increments. I see what you're saying now. Okay, so it has to be a minimum of 4,000, or you could do 8,000, 12,000, 16,000, but it has to be, in this case, for this 1 year ladder, 4,000 increments of money.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, got it.
Then this is what I'm talking about, the reinvesting or the auto roll or what that means. And the interest rates are what a de-inverted yield curve you would expect to look like. So this is why it's interesting timing right now. So if you just wanted to do this for a 1 year period At 3 months, you'd get 1.2. 6 months, you'd get 1.4. 9 would be 1.45. 12 at 1.5. That is their example. That's not real rates right now. We gave you the real rates earlier. And that's normal. I should get lower interest rate for the 3 month and higher for the 12 month. But you do this because as they mature, you would just get the cash. So quarterly, get cash. Quarterly, get cash. Quarterly, get cash. Quarterly, get cash. Done.
Not just cash, but get your original investment back.
And yes.
Plus whatever interest for that 3 month period you would.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fixed. That's what happens.
Yeah.
But if we decide to do the auto reinvesting, in this case, because we chose 3 months, 3 month increments, 1 year period, you automatically buy a new 12-month CD. So in a normal environment, you give yourself a higher interest rate every 3 months because of the way you structured it. So your 3 month is going to expire. You're going to take that 3 month and reinvest the principal amount into a 12-month CD. You're not going to buy another 3 months. You're going to buy a 12-month because once we hit 3 months, your 6 month isn't going to be 6 months anymore. It's got 3 months left. You're going to take off 3 months from all of these because 3 months has gone by in time.
Okay.
So your 6 month becomes the 3 month, the 9 month becomes the 6 month, the 12 month becomes the 9 month, and your new 12 month becomes a 12 month. But that's the way you lock in higher rates constantly. And it's also a very common method when you retire and you need an income.
That makes sense.
But right now is a different time because this example on the screen is a normal environment. We're not in that because of the restrictive Fed. So we could lock in higher rates for 3 months, whereas normally you would do this to get those higher rates for 12 months. But it takes you time to set that up because you need to get the 12 month to be your 3 month period. We're in an amazing opportunity where your 3 month is already at its 12 month potential, as in a higher interest rate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though. So if you do the reinvesting option, mm-hmm. once that like first rung 3 month CD, you're putting that original $1,000 into this new 12 month and you're keeping your like interest,
mm-hmm.
or they're putting all of that into the 12 month?
It's just the principal.
Okay. If you pick the reinvest maturing principal option, do you want to make sure you're still like willing to keep that kind of locked up, right?
Yes, because you're still going to lock it up for those 3 month increments. You'll get alerts.
And you can turn that off at some point.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. There's a lot of terminology here and it looks overwhelming.
If this does look confusing, remember, you can call up your brokerage firm and be like, hey, I just want to make sure I'm setting this up right. Can't you?
Absolutely. I literally used to do this for Fidelity specifically and other firms. But people would call and say, hey, I want to set up a CD letter. Can you walk me through that? And we would take them to the screen. They'd be like, okay, well, what does this mean? And just tell them, like, that's free to you.
Free resource.
And those are licensed reps. So they're going to walk you through all the things. But what you'll notice here is it did the hard work for you. We're getting a CD from the Bank of Indiana. We're getting one from Zions Bank Corporation. We're getting one from Bank of America. We're getting one from Charles Schwab Bank. We didn't have to physically go anywhere. You didn't have to go look for all of these. You're just clicking some buttons. And then what's going to happen, just like you buy a stock and it shows in your position field, or you have a money market position or a cash position and it shows up in the what you own, these are going to do the same thing. Now, there is something you have to be aware of. And I remember this would come up when I was working with clients all the time. They would buy a broker CD for the first time and then they'd see it on their position page and they'd spend, say, a $1,000 increment. And now it's at $950. They're like, oh my God, I lost $50. You're like, well, you bought a brokerage CD, which means there is a secondary market for it. It means if you were to get rid of this early, it's your early withdrawal penalty.
So as long as you're keeping it in there for that right amount of time, you're not actually losing that.
No, you're not. You're not. But it could be very alarming to go to your positioned page.
And you're thinking like it's a fee or it's something else that's been taken from you.
Yeah. As long as you hold it till expiration.
Yeah.
And you'll get your principal back. But it's really scary because you're like, oh, I spent $4,000 and you log into your account and you're like, oh, it's worth $3,800. Where did it go? Nowhere. And we're talking about new issued CDs, but you could go also get them on the secondary market. And there's a whole other process for that that we will talk about at some other point.
And the secondary market is the stock market.
Yes. So the secondhand market. Well, in this case, it wouldn't necessarily be, oh, welcome to the other side. Fixed income market. There are more markets.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a stock market. There's the bond market.
Yeah. futures market, an options market.
Forgot about that. We always talk about the
commodities market,
and I completely forget that there are other markets.
They are, but that's okay. It's in the name, though. It's a stock market is a place where you exchange stocks. Mm-hmm. Fixed income market, you exchanged fixed income products.
So illuminating.
Yeah, this is not a scary thing,
right?
I hope. It's literally CDs where you are locking in rates and you are preparing for changes that we know are coming. Again, not investment advice. I don't know when the Fed is going to cut rates, and they're data dependent. So it's very possible on Friday we get a PCE number that is insanely high, and then all of a sudden they say they want to increase rates. That risk you have here. But the high probability and action that the Fed has told us, the people who affect those interest rates and make those decisions, is they're going to cut them this year, projected at least 3 times.
Yeah.
Which means we got to lock in rates.
And then we had a few questions, comments from some of our followers. Beza from TikTok asked, what is the difference between T-bills, T-bonds, T-notes, and CDs? It's like a little overwhelming. So how do we break that down or kind of remember that in an easy way?
CDs we talked about. Those are issued by a bank. Anything with the T is issued by the Treasury, which is the sovereign. The U.S. government, that is our debt as a country. The bills, notes, and bonds has to do with the maturity that's attached to it. So this is one of those really fun questions that's on your Series 7 or one of those mini exams. And I always have weird ways of remembering things. So Aaron Hicks, to share that today. Bills are the shortest. Notes are the second, and then bonds. Bills, I literally think of dollar bills. They don't get much interest. You exchange them constantly. That's the bill part. Shortest maturity is bills. Notes are going to be a little bit longer. So the T-bills are like 4 weeks to a year. Notes, 2 to 10 years. But if I have a note, I've got a written piece of paper. So I've had a contract for a loan or something. So I'm going to get more interest rate. So it's a little bit
higher. IOU.
Yeah, exactly. And bonds, you're like bonded to this. So you are like a marriage.
Okay.
A partnership.
Yeah.
An agreement. So that's 20 to 30 years. And they have the highest payoff, usually. Yes. But they also have the highest interest rate risk. That's how I remember the difference between bills, notes, and bonds.
Okay. That's a good one.
It's in the name, in a way.
Yeah. That's like the biggest takeaway from this whole podcast. Everything is in the name, which is something I never realized before.
It's actually a takeaway for me, too, because I literally never realized it either until we kept saying it's in the name.
And I'm like, the name.
Actually, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beza, for all of the questions and for answering that one on our story today. We did have a couple of other comments. Some people went a little nuts. Thank you for that. We had some that said they personally prefer bond ladders. That was from I Find Scammers on TikTok. Love that account. We did this with CDs. We could do it with bonds. Do different maturities and you'll end up with a ladder. A ladder just means structure. You're structuring your investment to be in these equidistant time frames. So in this case, it's I'm getting paid every 3 months. So to set it up, I've got to do 3, 6, 9, and 12. But to keep it up, I just have to add 12. So I constantly keep the ladder going. And that's the beauty of the timing of all of this. Not timing the market, but timing this episode. The preparation. Is normally you have to set that up, and then eventually when you get to that 12-month mark, you're getting that higher interest rate all the time. But we're just in this special time frame with an inverted yield curve where you could lock in higher rates sooner, and that's doesn't happen all the time.
If any finance guru says, I don't know what's gonna happen with interest rates, or just stick it in your high savings account, there's some better things you can do.
Yeah.
Not a bad option, but there's some better things you can do.
Yeah, those things are all timely.
Yeah. Like, we don't know when interest rates are going to be cut, but we totally, totally have an insight into the people who make the decisions to cut the rates.
Mm-hmm. And can have a strategy.
Yeah. Let's pay attention to your surroundings.
Not sure how many times I can say this, but I love learning more ways of how to make my money make money. And brokerage CDs is another way. So glad we learned about that today. Thanks, Jess.
Oh, always. And I hope that I love part will stay.
Just kidding. Yes, of course.
Yes.
We've got many more episodes to do.
So much. I do find it so interesting. It's episode 31, and this is the first time we're showing you how to place a trade, which we're going to start doing more of.
Actual things to do. How to do it. Literally, how to.
Literally. So we're calling this our Edu Action series. We'll go ahead and put this out just in case, you know, IP. If you want to share ways to make your money make money, then share this podcast with a friend, your family, whomever.
And if you feel so inclined to give us a little something back in return, please leave us a review. We show up for you, show up for us by giving us a star rating or making our day by telling us how you really feel and how much you love us.
Yes, please. However you really feel. Even if you hate us, honestly, those reviews help. It might send me into an existential crisis or something, and that's fine. But
you don't have to say you hate us, but you can feel free to give us feedback.
Thrive on criticism.
You would like us to switch up or try something different.
For sure.
We're open. Yeah. We're open.
We are.
Feedback.
We're not perfect. I totally thrive on criticism. So absolutely. Until next time, keep learning, keep earning, because when you build knowledge, you break down barriers.
Bye.
Tittle. Remember, investing involves risk. There is always potential to lose money when investing in securities. Market Maker provides educational content and resources for informational purposes only. We are not registered financial advisors and do not provide personalized investment advice. Any information provided by Market Maker on our website or podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Market Maker is not liable for any investment decisions made based on our content.